With Tech News Briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. As more people bank online, the big banks have become increasingly worried about identity fraud. Could an answer to this problem be waiting at the Department of Motor Vehicles? The Wall Street Journal's Telus Demos joins us in a moment. First, here are some tech headlines. We're watching the stock market Tuesday to see how the technology sector performs. Tech stocks tumbled Monday, led by Apple. Lumentum, which supplies optical equipment to Apple, issued a profit and revenue warning, citing weak demand. That heightened worries that iPhone demand was slowing ahead of the holiday season. Was a top Facebook executive fired because of his support for Donald Trump? At the height of the 2016 presidential campaign, Palmer Luckey, a Trump supporter, donated $10,000 to an anti-Hillary Clinton group and was fired 6 months later after the donation sparked a backlash from his colleagues. Internal Facebook emails suggest the matter was discussed at the highest levels of the company. In the fall of 2016, as unhappiness over the donation simmered, Facebook executives, including CEO Mark Zuckerberg, pressured Mr. Luckey to publicly voice support for Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, despite Mr. Luckey's years-long support of Mr. Trump, according to people familiar with the conversations and internal emails viewed by the Wall Street Journal. Mr. Luckey, who sold his virtual reality company Oculus to Facebook, has hired an employment lawyer and negotiated a $100 million payout with Facebook. A startup called Rocket Lab has successfully launched its first commercial payload into space. The U.S.-New Zealand startup is seeking to set the pace for frequent, inexpensive launches of small satellites, each weighing just a few hundred pounds. Rocket Lab's Electron booster, featuring lightweight composite tanks and 3D-printed engines, lofted six satellites into orbit from a remote launch facility on the east coast of New Zealand on Sunday. Still ahead, big banks are partnering with motor vehicle departments to prevent identity fraud. This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal. Identity fraud has long been a problem for major banks in the U.S., and it's become a more acute problem in the digital age in the wake of some high-profile data breaches. So now banks have found a partner that you may or may not have expected would help them with identity verification: the Department of Motor Vehicles. Let's get more on the story from the Wall Street Journal's Telus Demos, who joins us via Skype. Telus, I suppose this makes a lot of sense for banks to partner with motor vehicle departments as more people open online accounts.
That's right. The banks are moving in the direction of trying to be more digital. They're trying to do more things for customers via mobile phones, via the internet, to pretty much serve people outside of the branch. Meanwhile, they're having a harder time confirming that you really are who you say that you are. You mentioned there have been a lot of hacks. Equifax, for example, a lot of personal information, including driver's license numbers, including social security numbers, was put out into the world. So even though you might submit a lot of real information, the banks aren't so certain that they're dealing with you when they're dealing with you in a mobile setting. So if you think about it, where does everyone, virtually everyone, many people go to confirm that they are who they say they are? They go to the DMV. They bring, especially nowadays that we have increasingly strict rules about giving out licenses, people bring birth certificates, social security cards, and other forms of identification. And more importantly, they see you. They take a picture of you. It's a much more robust process than the things that the banks are currently using to identify you. So what a lot of banks are proposing, banks and other financial companies are proposing, is that they sort of work together, that banks be allowed to sort of tap into DMV data to say, okay, we've got this information about this person. Do these things match up? Yes, they do. Okay, great. We know we're probably dealing with a real person. So it's a shortcut for banks to, rather than trying to cobble together, okay, it looks like this matches up, it looks like that matches up, they could go to an actual source and say, okay, in a government database somewhere, this person exists and all their information aligns, so therefore we're pretty certain it is who they say they are.
And one thing that it could do, tell us, it could lead to big savings for banks.
That's right. It costs a lot of money for banks to do all of the things that they do to confirm who you are. They have to pay a number of different database providers to provide them with information. They often employ a human workforce that is people who will review applications. They also sometimes might take a photo of your driver's license. But in that case, they're not currently able to just sort of ping the DMV to say, is this real? What they're able to do is sort of say, okay, this is a real document. Sometimes that even involves a person looking at it. So it's a very labor-intensive process, and banks, of course, are trying to dramatically cut their costs by closing branches or by using branches to do more higher value sort of things like sell you a mortgage rather than do basic things like opening an account or, allowing you to send money back and forth.
But still, aren't there pitfalls and drawbacks to this because the banks have to work with a variety of state and local agencies?
It's always complicated, of course, to coordinate with governments, especially when you're dealing with 50 governments. So it remains to be seen exactly how financial companies would go about sort of creating a network of DMVs that would work for them, that they would be allowed to use in the ways that they want to. And of course, there's always, you know, other considerations, right? In the U.S., we don't have a national identification, really. We don't have one form of ID that every person is expected to have or is given at birth, right? Everybody gets a Social Security number, but that doesn't have your picture associated. That doesn't have your current address associated with it. Other countries do have that, right? For example, they have that in China and India. In the U.S., people are often uncomfortable with that idea. So, banks don't want to be seen as sort of forcing everybody to go out and get one form of identification. There are lots of people who don't have driver's licenses for one reason or another. And of course, there's always, you know, privacy considerations, right? Do you want government agencies in any way, shape, or form sort of participating with commercial services, right? A lot of that happens already. Maybe people don't want it to go further. There's always that sort of concern. Other people would say that maybe this is a better way of doing it than sort of allowing private companies like the Equifaxes of the world to hold on to lots of your information. So there's lots of different considerations and pitfalls here.
Hasn't a congressional overhaul of banking regulations sort of smoothed the way for partnerships between banks and agencies like motor vehicle departments?
Yeah, Congress is definitely interested in moving this along, right? Like they buried within the hundreds and hundreds of pages of the banking regulation reform bill passed last year were a couple of measures. One was sort of enshrining the ability of financial companies to use an image of your driver's license. There are some states that have a lot of privacy laws around the use and sharing of driver's license information. It wasn't always clear that every state would allow banks to do that. So Congress tried to basically come over the top and say, okay, no, banks have this ability regardless of what the state laws might say about that particular issue. They also, the Banking Regulation Reform Bill also contained a provision that asked the Social Security Administration to work to create an electronic database so that banks could use that to better confirm Social Security numbers, right? To say that, okay, the name and the birth date and the things match up with the number being given. So they were hoping to make life easier for banks by doing it that way. So Congress has been on banks' side in this case. It'll be interesting to see if further measures are proposed. There are some people in Congress, some members of Congress have proposed even more radical things like getting rid of the Social Security number, replacing it with a new kind of identification system at the federal level. So I think there's a lot to come in this area, both from Congress as well as from the industry.
Tell us, you write that banks are working with bank technology vendors, you know, to scan driver's license images and record the information. How does that exactly tie in with the DMV?
So that happens kind of independent of the DMV. What happens is that banks simply look at, they use some outside technology firms to help them look at a driver's license and say, okay, based on what we know about the security features of the license, right, all the little holograms and special images on licenses to make sure that those all are there. They also look at, okay, does the photo of the license, right, given the sort of the shading and the shadows around it, actually look like this is a live image that somebody took? So it's basically a way of saying, okay, this is a real license. But it doesn't actually then take that extra step of going to a DMV database and saying, is this an active license? You know, has this had been doctored in any way, right? Like we spoke to people who work with DMVs who say that, you know, there are some very high quality counterfeit licenses out there. And obviously that would be difficult to create a counterfeit license that good. But those are the people that the banks want to stop, right? The really committed identity thieves who want to, you know, potentially, you know, open up lots of credit cards and things like that in a fake person's name or in a real person's name. So it's that edge case that people are thinking about.
Wall Street Journal reporter Telus Demos joining us via Skype. Thanks, Telus.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for having me.
And that's Tech News Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.